reading is the whole of John chapter 6. It can be found on page 1069 of the Church Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, from now on, give us this bread.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I come down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though was who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. This is the gospel.
Much for reading that lengthy passage from the Holy Scriptures, and indeed thank you for listening. I trust it will become apparent why that passage was read. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you again for your holy word. We pray that in this holy place your Holy Spirit would have free rein in our hearts and lives, and give birth once more to the life of Christ within us. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. If you head directly that way, before you get to the playing field, you'll come across the very attractively named bakehouse. It's a shop full of bread. I do encourage you to go there. I'm not on commission. It's one of the great places of temptation in Tunbridge High Street for me. It's never enough just to have one bite. You kind of keep on going. Even the crusts are delicious. It's a shop full of bread. And today we're looking at John chapter 6, which is a chapter also full of bread. I'm sure you're aware that the Holy Spirit inspired Holy Scripture, and it's not just the individual verses, but it's the way the verses are organized. And there is a very profound sense in which John chapter 6, this chapter full of bread, which actually, as we'll see soon, is a chapter full of Jesus, is constructed under the influence of the Spirit in a particular way. You can see right at the start of the chapter that there is a change of mood or episode. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then right at the end of the chapter, or at the start of the next one, again, after this, Jesus went. There was a series of episodes in the life of Jesus, which, as that chapter makes plain, was speaking about bread all the time, all the way through. Notice by passing that this happened, or the setting happened, by the Sea of Galilee. It's where the bulk of Jesus' earthly ministry happened, until he turned his face towards Jerusalem. And those historic events happened that we will be soon celebrating at Easter time. The capital city. The house prices were high. That was the place to go. It's the place everyone wanted to be. Jerusalem, the holy city. Except Jesus spent the bulk of his time in Galilee, where they were rough-speaking people, where they smelt, particularly of fish, after you've been fishing on the lake. The house prices were pretty poor, and the schools weren't up to much. It wasn't the place you wanted to come from. I note that in passing, that this is where Jesus, as it were, cut his teeth. This is where Jesus did what Jesus did. And these are the sorts of people that Jesus attracted. And we all know the story, the feeding of the 5,000. There were a lot of people that didn't have a lot of money. And there were a lot of people that were hungry and they were crowding round him. But to notice in John chapter 6, is this just about the feeding of the 5,000, is, if I may say this, to completely miss the point. Even Jesus takes his disciples aside before this great miracle happens and says, "Where are you going to get food to feed this lot?" And of course they get fed, but Jesus asks the question in order to test them. And the test comes after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the presentation of Jesus, who stands in the midst of them in rough and tough Galilee, and says, "I am the bread of life." If you want bread from God, you need to come to me. And so the setting is, if you like, a test. It could actually be the setting of life. Through the desert places, through the realm of life, there will come tests and challenges. And when they come, irrespective of the challenge itself, namely to feed the 5,000, it's to somehow see that Jesus is there in the midst of you and your challenge. And particularly in verse 27 of John chapter 6, the lesson becomes even sharper. You've just fed 5,000 people, and Jesus says, but don't work for food that spoils. It's not just about physical food. There is, as it were, a spiritual hole. There is, as it were, a physical place in your stomach for food. And there is, as it were, a spiritual hole in your life for something. And just as bread gives life for the body, so this restlessness and emptiness within can only be filled by the bread that comes from God. And the staggering thing about John chapter 6, which is a chapter all about bread, which is a chapter all about Jesus, he dares to suggest that whilst bread satisfies physical hunger, the only way spiritual hunger can be satisfied is through Jesus Christ himself. So don't work for food that spoils. Work for food that even now will be planted within you and will last to eternal life. Notice there in verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The 5,000 people have been fed, but it's not just about that. It's about Jesus Christ and his power and ability to satisfy what can't be satisfied in any other way. Notice how he describes this spiritual life. It feels like you're hungry. Notice in the few verses before, in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He who takes this bread will be hungry again. But if you have this food that I will give you, then you won't be hungry again. If you drink this water, you will be thirsty again. But for this part of you, you will never be thirsty again. Someone said to me once, and I think there's a lot of truth in this, the secret of never thirsting spiritually is of ever thirsting. Do you get the point? If you never want to thirst spiritually, the thing to do is to keep on thirsting for more of Christ. The more that goes off the radar, the more that stops happening, paradoxically, the greater the void becomes. The secret of never hungering is ever hungering. If you don't want to be spiritually wanting or wasting, then you need to keep asking and pleading and coming to more for Christ for food. He who takes this bread will never be hungry again. I am the bread of life. No wonder this teaching, which goes on through the whole of John chapter 6, was found by some people to be quite challenging. So Jesus says, where are you going to get food for these people? That this is a test for you. And you need to make sure as you go through this test, where I am going to find my presence in your life, that you shouldn't work for food that spoils. Somehow Jesus Christ needs to be there with you. I am the very bread of life. And he then says to them, when crowds part in verse 67, do you too want to leave also? As we receive today Holy Communion, bread and wine, the memorial instituted by our precious Lord Jesus Christ himself. There are surely allusions to this feast taking place in John chapter 6. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I also live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. C.S. Lewis famously once said of communion, you take and you eat. You can't possibly take and understand. How is it that Jesus Christ is the very one that can satisfy and make us complete. Is there any other way that's going to happen? What happens when you receive communion? You receive bread, you take the taste of wine upon your lips, and according to these words of Jesus Christ, you are some way feeding on Christ. I am the bread of life. Life without Jesus is not going to be enriching, is not going to be satisfying. You'll get hungry again, you'll get thirsty again. But with him, surely according to his words and teaching, this is the only way to live. What shall we do to do the work of him who has sent you? Don't work for food that spoils, Jesus said, but work for the food that brings you to eternal life. And the inevitable question comes, well, what work should we do to gain eternal life? There is only one work that Jesus says. I am the bread of life. Believe in me, which also means receive me and allow me to be part of your life. Dear friends, church going might be part of that. Hymn singing might be part of that. But there's no guarantee that if you do those things and more, even feed 5,000 people, that Jesus Christ is there, that you're feeding on him, that you accept him, that you believe in him. Sensing restlessness, to sense that being directed in any other way than towards him, the very bread of life from God, will only lead to yet more cravings, searchings, and restlessness. Feed me till I want no more. He's the bread that comes down from heaven. Have you received him? Is that life which he plants within you growing and developing? Are you ready to come this day with open hands and open hearts to allow him to feed you, to be bread from heaven, bread from God, that you can be truly you as Jesus wants you to be? From that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. May those words of Simon Peter's be ours. Lord, I've nowhere else to go. You came for me. My life is restless without you. I want to follow you. I believe in you, I receive you, and I feed on you. A chapter all about bread. A chapter all about Jesus. Kind of goes on and on and on. But it makes the point that our lives should be receptive, accepting, and fed by Jesus Christ. And indeed, no one else. The very bread of heaven. We bow our heads to pray. Let us pray. Father, please grant us even now, this morning, grace to receive you into our hearts and lives. Where that life is not present, we pray it will be so. And where we've tasted and known spiritual food, we pray that even today you would grant us a fresh feeding upon your goodness and grace, that our restless lives might be content with the presence of Jesus Christ, the very bread of heaven, in whose name we pray. Amen.